This morning, as has been said a couple of times, a little different. It's kind of a mission Sunday here at Grace Point Church. So we have a young adult, Katerina McFadden, who's about to head out onto a missions trip in the fall, and she's going to present her trip here in just a minute. Is Kat in the room? I know she's trying. Oh, sorry. She's trying to be pretty careful. She's working at a camp and trying not to have too much exposure to too many people. So here she is. She's going to come up, and then following her, we're going to hear from Madeline Chase, who just finished a trip, and then the Alaska team is going to come up and share some things that have happened over the past 10 days with them. So without any further ado, come on up, Kat, and share with us about your upcoming trip.
Thank you, Josh. It is an honor to be in front of you guys as my faith family. There is not a year of my life that I have not had, formerly Twin Orchards and now Grace Point, that people have been mentors, have been encouragers, have been people who have just given me that direction and prompting towards continuing to learn and to follow God's voice in my life. As I stand before you today, I flash back to 3 years ago in the spring when I went on a three-week adventure in medical missions over to southern Africa. I come to you today with my next chapter of medical missions in the country of Togo from West Africa. I'll be in the northern region here, and the African culture is one full of fun patterns, many languages, and a beautiful culture. So I'm excited with this trip to be focusing on short-term medical missions once again. I'll be there for 3 months, from October to the end of the year. And as you can see here, this is the country. So in a very small corner there, you can see the whole continent. And I'll be in this very tiny sliver of Togo. I'll be right up in the north in a city called Mango, or Mango, as we would pronounce it in English. And it is a country of 8.5 million people. This is going to be a rural region that I'm working in, and the local people group is the Anufo. This is an indigenous people group, and I'm looking forward to, first and foremost, stepping deeper into the perspective of medical missions and health in a cross-cultural setting, as well as in obedience with God and how He has placed this trip on my heart. The mission that I'm working with is Hospital de Esperance. I'm still working on my French. This is the national language of Togo, and it is Hospital of Hope. This is a hospital that is a 66-bed facility that was established by ABWE and the Nile's son, Alan, and his wife, Catherine, and has since partnered with Samaritan's Purse Medical Auxiliary Branch, World Medical Missions. It is a facility that's complete with an ER, so surgical unit, recovery, maternal and child pediatric health, as well as women's and men's wards, because it is very sensitive to the Islamic faith that is prominent in the north. This is also a hub of health as a regional medical center for northern Togo, as well as the neighboring countries of, if we go back one, there was Benin, Ghana, and then Burkina Faso. So the northern countries are very much more Islamic in nature. So this is an incredible ministry that continues to come forward with the true source of hope for all patients and families who step into the facility. What has been laid on my heart as far as the passion of this trip is to be an instrument of hope, healing, and health. As Gary talked about last week, one of my favorite pictures of the Creator is a potter, how He creates us as these clay vessels in which He works through and He shines through. So nothing that I'm going to do is in my own glory, in my own capability. It's in what he gives me and the strength and the joy and the hope that I will carry to these people. So in that first H, hope, I am looking forward to the privilege of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through prayer, as that is an opportunity given to each patient, resources in their local language, and then they even have, outside of the compound of the hospital, a Christian radio station. And interestingly enough, the local director of the radio station is Muslim. So this is an incredible partnership that I know God is working to influence him in the way that he sees God. Healing, this is going to be building bridges to the locals and the patients at a deeper level than the physical need, than the condition that they've come in with through that compassionate ministry. And lastly, but not least, health. So reaching their holistic health, their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being with my role as a volunteer nurse in this hospital for 3 months. I'll be partnering with a staff of local doctors as well as missionary nurses and medical professionals. And some of the backstory of the hospital is it was started with the motivation of the local community. So 300 men coupled with the missionaries to create this building and continue to sustain its operations. So God continues to be faithful in that. In going, as I said, I'm merely a vessel of this work. So there are many areas of prayer that I've been prompted to reach out and just invite you into. The first is emotional and mental resilience, or as this is going to be a culture I'm not familiar with. It's foreign in many ways from the language, from the norms of day-to-day life, and also the different challenges of the environment and the creatures. So I'm praying for and asking you to pray with me for that resilience and especially the unity among the medical team, as I'm used to the team dynamic here in the States in Western medicine. And I know that some of the doctors there are Western in their background of training. However, I'm also going to be working with local doctors, and I want to yield and be humble to the authority that I'm called into. Secondly, that God's word would be shared and bear harvest, that I'm taking those opportunities to extend prayer to my patients, to meet together with my team, and to talk about the hard challenges that I've gone through in a shift. Being a light and serving, even amongst the student nurses. So they also have an incredible program that is a nursing school for the local women to be a part of. And especially in a Muslim culture, women are seen as inferior. So this is an incredible way that the hospital is stepping out to advocate and to champion women and giving them an opportunity and an occupation to serve and gain an income. And last but not least, financial support. This, varying on the airfare cost, will be anywhere from $5,800 to $7,200 for the 3 months, including my lodging, the insurance, and the various provisions that I will need when I'm there. This is a look at one part of the hospital. As I said earlier, it is a compound, so this is one of the courtyards. And right now it looks very vacant, but it is often very busy because you have people coming in from those neighboring countries, and if they're there for continued wound care or health needs, they will camp on the property and have their family continue to serve them, bring food, and they will wait in that facility until they're ready to go home safely and stable. But as I think back a couple weeks to the Butlers being here and talking about the Joshua Project, this is a country that is 45.1% Christian. However, I've talked a couple times about the Muslim presence. And in this country, there are 8 unreached people groups. And I don't know if the Lord will give me an opportunity to speak into someone's life who's never heard Christ, but that's exciting for me. The opportunity to be a mouthpiece for who Christ is and the hope he's given me and how I've carried that in my life. So even though I have hesitations about traveling and about being in a foreign culture for 3 months, I am so hopeful about the message and the mission I will be partnering with. Through this last season, this summer, as I've stepped out of my long-term occupation into a summer ministry, God has time and time again shown me his faithfulness and his provision. And I know that in stepping out again, he is going to continue to be steadfast in those areas and beyond. So, lastly but not least, just a few shots here from one of my last trips, but I want to thank you for not only walking with me thus far in my life, in my faith, and spiritual development as a church, but also for praying and involving yourself in this upcoming missions trip. I'm humbled to have you in my life, and I pray that I make God first on this trip. As we sang in that last song, I want my eyes to be fixed on him, even in the midst of the confusion of language translation, in the complications and the mysteries of various medical conditions, and trusting him, learning to trust him deeply as my location and my culture shifts, but my foundation remains steadfast. And as a reminder, I'm leaving, but we all serve the Lord in our daily lives. It's just a matter of where we are. So as I'm going and I'm asking for these prayer requests, I will continue to pray for the ministries that Grace Point is doing here and how he's growing this community. Thank you.
Am I on? Thanks, buddy. He rolls his eyes. If somebody wants more information about your trip or how to, you know, a prayer list or how to give or anything like that, I think you have some papers in the back, maybe?
Yes. I have created a newsletter with information on it to donate financially.
Okay.
That is right in the back at the welcome desk.
All right. Thanks, Katarina. Appreciate it. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll hear more about her trip as it gets closer. And just FYI, something I wanted to share that maybe, you know, the church at large maybe doesn't realize, but there's a fund in our budget for short-term missions trips like this. And so people come and they make proposals like Katarina or Madeline, who we're going to hear from in just a minute. And it comes to the elder board, and we generally approve at minimum about 20% of the trip cost. So if that's something you're interested in or passionate about and you feel like finances is something that like holds you back from going on a trip like this, know that that's there and that's available. And then you have opportunities like this to share and hopefully get other people invested in your project as well. I just want to throw that out there before we bring up Madeline Chase, who just finished a trip with Love Thy Neighborhood. Thank you for putting that on your shirt so I could remember where you went and who you were working with. But I'm going to turn it over to you now, and then I'll be up in just a few minutes.
Good. Keenan, am I good? It's okay. All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to share with you guys about my summer in Louisville, Kentucky, and how God brought up the opportunity for me to serve him in urban missions. So a little bit about Louisville. So it's in Kentucky, which is a place I never expected I'd end up going, especially for missions. But it's really interesting because Louisville is pretty close to the Bible Belt in the United States, and yet the city is very unreached. There's a lot of cultural Christianity there. There's a lot of churches, but there's not a lot of people who are following Christ, and there's not a lot of gospel presence there. And so This summer, I went with an organization called Love Thy Neighborhood, which is an organization that partners with local ministries in Louisville. And so they partner with different nonprofits that are all Christian, gospel-centered ministries. And all the team members who come in through the program are assigned to a different ministry opportunity. So for this summer, I was with a program or a ministry called Recenter Ministries, which served the homeless population in Louisville and worked with people in addiction recovery. And so I was specifically working in their Women's Day drop-in shelter. And so I would work with women who came in and get to hear their stories and help them just to get the resources they needed on a day-to-day basis. So a little bit about Love Thy Neighborhood. So the Love Thy Neighborhood program has three core components. So the first one is intentional community and the importance of building community and Christian community with people around you. And then the second one is service, so serving through outreach opportunities in the community and then also at your ministry site. And then the third one was biblical discipleship. So I was there from June until the beginning of August, and so all three of these components were things that were integrated into my weekly schedule and things that I was able to grow in. So the first one, community. So for the summer, there was 24 team members there this summer from all over the country. There was a girl from Canada, too. And we were ranged in age from 18 to 28. So all of the girls lived together in one house. So there were 16 of us living in one house. And each of us was at a different service site. So some of us were in homeless ministry. Some of us were working with crisis pregnancy. Some were working through a church with a local church's missions program. And so each of us had our own mission site that we were at, but we all lived together and did life together. So in the one picture with the three of us, those were my roommates for the summer. So we met together every day for daily devotions together. We met once a week and prayed for each other and processed our week. And we also did communal grocery shopping and cooking together. So in addition to serving the local community, we also learned how to serve one another and be a support system for one another and hear each other's stories, which was a huge gift this summer in processing all that was happening with homeless ministry and just being in a city and in a new environment. It helped to have a community that was so positive and so Jesus-centered. So about my service site, Recenter Ministries, so Recenter Ministries has existed for over 100 years, gone through a lot of name changes, but their primary programs that they do is they work with men in addiction recovery, and then they have a women's drop-in shelter. So the women's drop-in shelter, where I served, serves about 20 to 30 women every day, and all they need to have to come in is a photo ID, and once they come in and get checked in, they can take showers, they could do laundry, they could just sit down and have some food or some coffee. And we also provided a lot of resources as well, so just basic things like clothing, shampoo, toiletries, really whatever we had on hand from donations, we would provide to them. And so my role was a lot of just greeting women as they came in, helping them get resources, and also sometimes, too, just getting a cup of coffee and just sitting with someone and listening to their story, which was really, it was really beautiful and really encouraging to see just the diversity of experiences that people have who experience homelessness. And that was something that was really humbling for me, is realizing that I feel like I had a lot of assumptions, too, about why people are homeless or how people end up in that situation, but seeing how there were people who were elderly, and there were people my age, and from all different walks of life. And while some people, maybe there was something they could have changed in their story, there was other people where things happened out of their control, and they just wound up in a really bad situation. And so it was really humbling to see the diversity and the experiences of people who came in, and also seeing how a lot of people who did come in did have a faith and did follow Christ. And so some of the conversations I had with women were so encouraging to me, too, because seeing how some of them were able to hold on to Jesus in the midst of having nothing. And there's one woman who would come in every day and just sit and read her Bible for an hour. And that was, it was just crazy, because I was like, you have nothing, and yet you have Christ. And, like, that's the most important thing. And one story that was really cool, there was one woman who came in, who I'll call Anna, just to protect her privacy. And she came in about once a week. Sometimes she would bring other women in with her and bring in friends. And she was just talking with me one day, and Sydney, who is in the middle photo, she was one of my supervisors this summer. So Anna was talking with us, and she was talking about her experiences at other shelters in the city. And she was saying, she's like, this shelter is my favorite. You guys are my favorite because it just, the way you treat me is different. And like, I just actually feel loved and like seen here. And Sydney, she's like, well, like, it's Jesus. Like, that's the difference. But just seeing how the focus at this ministry site was, yes, it was serving people and trying to help people in homelessness, but the focus was trying to see that the image of God in people and trying to love them and show them Christ. And because ReCenter is a nonprofit too, they're able to share the gospel and talk about Christ. And that's not something that the people who come in are unaware of. They know we're a Christian ministry, and I was able to have some conversations with a couple women about their faith and what they believed and share some about what God had been teaching me, and that was such a gift to hear their stories and also share some of my own faith with them too. So, all right. Okay, so in addition to serving in homeless ministry, our team also did community and service outreach twice a week, so on Thursday nights and then on Saturdays. We would do different ministries in the community, so sometimes we would just go on a prayer walk around our town and talk to people if we ran into them, but a lot of times it was just praying and trying to ask God to work in the city. We also volunteered some with a soup kitchen locally, and then also in the one photo where we're like holding flyers, we helped this local ministry by handing out flyers for a community outreach night as well. So community outreach varied from day to day, but the center of what we did was based around Matthew 22:37-39, which was kind of our verse for the summer. So, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the mission question that Love Thy Neighborhood gave us for the summer was to ask, how can I best love God and love people in this moment? Because it can be very easy to get caught up in, okay, what am I doing this summer, or what am I doing with my life? But sometimes you have to stop and say, okay, in this moment right now, in this next 10 minutes, how can I love God and how can I love people? And so sometimes that would look like just praying for someone. Sometimes it would look like baking cookies for a neighbor and getting to know them. Or sometimes it would look like volunteering with a local ministry. So that mindset of trying to love God and love people in the moment that you're in has really changed my life a lot, because it feels a lot easier than looking at something long term. And also too, outreach challenged me to move out of my comfort zone, whether that was in organizing prayer walks or just talking to people who I probably wouldn't have approached otherwise, but with another group of people and with the goal of just trying to see people and love on them, it became a lot easier. I don't know what that is. Don't think that's my presentation. All right. So the final component of this summer was spiritual development. So in addition to building community and serving and doing missions work, Love Thy Neighborhood also really focused on us developing spiritually. So every team member was assigned a mentor for the summer from the local church we served with. All of us attended the same church every week, called Sojourn Midtown, which is a really cool church. And we all also were assigned to serve at the church as well, so we would attend a service and then serve at a service. So I served on the Connect team there, or the Welcome team. So that's the middle picture is the Connect team for the summer. So we would rotate through and just get to talk with people on Sundays, which was such a gift. And also for spiritual development, once a week on Fridays, we would have different seminars on different Christian topics and have speakers come in and just talk about things like Bible study or spiritual development or mental health, and how to relate all of that to the gospel and how to grow personally even as we were serving others as well. So, and in addition to that, also too, I mentioned we had devotions with our roommates, and we also had a daily devotional time by ourselves as well. So as we close, some prayer requests moving forward. It was such a gift to be able to serve this summer. in Louisville and just to learn about urban missions and learn about what that could look like for my life and just for the church in general, what it looks like to serve people in the city and reach them. But also, too, I was only able to be there for one summer. And so I'd ask that you guys continue to keep Louisville and keep Recenter Ministries in your prayers and just the people who I was able to encounter this summer, because although I'm not there, I know those ministries already exist there and they have such a strong foundation in the community and they're working with people there. And also, too, I just want to thank all of you as a church, too, for supporting me this summer through prayer and financially. It meant so much to me, and also seeing that this wasn't something I was doing alone, but it was something that God was doing through all of us was such a gift, and it's been an honor to go on that journey with you and share with you a little bit about what that's looked like. So thank you, guys.
Fan club in the front row. Thank you for sharing. I know in our time working with foster care, mm-hmm. it's been an eye-opening experience to see the plight of some people. And I think it's fantastic that you had an experience like that, to be able to mm-hmm. walk through their challenges and their dark times and see the circumstances that, yes, sometimes they put themselves into, but oftentimes it's just kind of the realities of life and things outside forces that put people in hard places, and that can't stop us from loving them. Right, it ought to motivate us to love them more. So it's mm-hmm. encouraging to hear that, Madeline. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I'm going to ask the Alaska team to come on up. I was wondering why I was so quiet. It's my fault. Again, my fault again. Come on up, Alaska team. Those of you who are still standing, why don't you guys join me on this side of the stage? And we're going to catch up with these guys who just got back from Alaska on Thursday, right? Thursday afternoon, our time. So they're still kind of like recovering, I think, jet laggy a little bit. We've got several who came down with like a cold/flu type thing. So we're missing Phil Cook, I think, because he's feeling pretty under the weather. But Matt said that Phil is probably home building relationships. So I guess that's like an inside joke for the team. Every time Phil kind of disappeared while they were working, he would come back and they'd say, "Where were you, Phil?" And he said, "Building relationships." So, Phil, building relationships at home, wonderful. He's going to get me for that. I'm sure I'll probably have a text when I get down. But thanks, guys, for coming up. We appreciate you taking some time to share with us, although we know you're probably exhausted and tired from your journey. But I just have a few questions that we're going to kind of work through with these guys to help us get a sense of what their trip was like. So the first thing I want to start with, and Kyle, you kind of mentioned this to me just this morning. The first question is kind of, what were your impressions of Kingdom Air Corps? Like most of us, some of us have been up there before, Pastor Blasco and maybe some others, but most of us haven't been up there before. So what were some of your impressions of Kingdom Air Corps and anything you learned about Kingdom Air Corps that maybe you didn't know before? So it doesn't just have to be Kyle, but if anybody has, I know he has something to say, so I started with him. But if anybody else has something they'd like to say about Kingdom Air Corps, you feel free.
So I guess I'll start.
Yeah.
So Kingdom Air Corps, we would hear about Kingdom Air Corps for years and years and years. And so I've been here for 16 years. I've heard about it all the time, but never been there until now. So what Kingdom Air Corps basically does is if you wanted to be a missionary pilot, if that's where you felt like God was calling you and that was something you wanted to do, to be able to help people to take the gospel, the good news of Christ, to places where it was really difficult to get to with a road, and you wanted to be a pilot, how would you do that? Well, many people, if you have an in with somebody who's already a pilot, maybe they would train you and show you how to do that. Otherwise, you would go to a school. You go to like Laterno or any one of these other places, and you would go and you would take the classes and you would pay for it. By the end of getting your pilot's license, you would be $100,000 in debt or so. And so then what you'd have to do is go get a career to pay off your $100,000 of debt, and then once you finish that, then you could go and you could become a missionary pilot. So one of the ways that you see Kingdom Air Corps is sort of like a intermediary step. If you went there, you go there for a summer, you can basically get your missionary pilot's license and be able to do that for something like $10,000 or $15,000. You can get it in a year or two of training, and you can go immediately onto the mission field. So that's kind of what they do there. That's what they provide. But they do this in an Alaska setting, and you can see some of the pictures of the lodge and the camp and stuff like that. So that's what we went and took part of. And so it was really fun. For those of you who have gone on the men's retreat, you know that the guys stay in like cabins together. So imagine that that's kind of what all of us did, except for Steve and Virginia and Greg and Bonnie. I mean, they had their own places, but the rest of us guys, the rest of us guys, we stayed together in an unheated cabin, and we dealt with each other's snoring and all that kind of stuff. And
I was calling them out.
We're not going to point fingers to others who are not here right now. But that's kind of how it worked, and then you'd go from there. You'd have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. Breakfast at 7:30, devotions at 8 every morning, and then everybody cleaned up, and then you went to work, and then you came to lunch, and you helped clean up, and then you would go back to work, and then 6 o'clock would be the final dinner, and then you would clean up, and then by about 7:30, would you say 7:30 to 8? Every day you were kind of done.
Yeah.
You were sort of done at that point. So that's kind of how the Kingdom Air Corps stuff worked. Now, does that answer your question? Do I need to pass this on? Do you guys want to say anything else about that?
If anybody has any other impressions about Kingdom Air Corps they want to share? If not, there we go. Greg's right.
I really hesitate to give the mic to Greg.
We should have thought more about this. Yeah.
So my impression... and it's kind of emotional for me, was to see God at work in this place. People like Madison and Katarina just loving the Lord and putting their all into serving Him and learning how to fly and how to work on planes so that they can go to the most remotest places and dedicate their life to serving the Lord. And it was just so emotional to be there and see this. And one of the experiences that we had that shows the work of God is that they go to the most remote place for 2 weeks to reach the kids of the tribes up there that only hear the gospel one time a year, and it's at this camp. And the eagerness that they had to go to this place where the conditions are horrible, and all of them got sick at some point, but they fought through it and served the Lord up there. And there was one girl in particular who wasn't slated to go, but she came to Kingdom Air Corps early in the year on her own to get her pilot's license, and the Lord just got hold of her heart, and she wasn't slated to go, but an hour before the planes took off, they found out that there was a lady that they were supposed to meet in Fairbanks, and she got sick and couldn't go. So this girl changed her whole schedule and everything else, her return flight, so that she could go. And we wound up, last minute, driving her all the way to Fairbanks, which is a 6.5-hour drive, and to meet up with another couple that were driving up to a place as close as they could get, and then they were flown in. And just to see him be part of her journey was just amazing. And her desire to serve the Lord and how he got hold of her life. It just You need to go on a mission trip. Every one of you. I'm telling you, it will change your life. And it will help you grow closer in your walk with God.
One thing you should know, too, is that we were up there for, what were we up there for, 8 days or 9 days? You guys were up there for 5.5 weeks. So they were up for a long time and built lots of great relationships. So, yeah, they were indispensable up there.
Yeah, no, that's great. You guys have hopefully been watching the pictures up there. I was going to ask what kind of projects you all worked on, but we can kind of see some of them. But did anybody get way out of their comfort zone while you were working on it? Yeah, let's hear from one of our young people, maybe. Way out of your comfort zone working on a project. Go ahead, Danny.
I got to be the youngest one to be able to come up, and there was many, many things that I learned how to do there, like sheetrocking. Sorry, Phil. And whoever has to be the mutter after this, good luck for some of those rooms. There was just a lot of different opportunities that were given to every person to be able to do. Like, we dug a ditch the one day and cables, and then the next day we were all in the house sheetrocking and painting, and then I got to organize a bunch of their stuff. The fun parts in life. But there was just so many different opportunities that each person could have, no matter what their skills were and what they could do.
Oh, cool. Anybody else want to share anything about a project? Yeah, go ahead, Virginia.
I add on to what Greg said. These families, like some of them, they have families with young children. They have like 3 or 4 kids under the age of 9. Going with them over there, and they all get sick, get back from camp. So you don't have to really go to Alaska. You don't want to be part of that. You can pray for them. They need encouragement and need to pray for their health and safety. And there's another team that came when we were leaving that they need paperwork to be approved. So those are things that you can pray for them, and so that they can serve the Lord.
That's great. I don't want to keep us too long, but I do want to touch on this. Obviously, we all know, well, most of us know Dennis and Stacy Cachardo and their family, and you've seen them in some of the pictures up there. And I guess I wanted to ask, you know, how much were you able to interact with Dennis and Stacy, and in what ways do you see them? There they are, right there. In what ways do you see them kind of growing into their roles there at King AmeriCorps? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
So that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to go, is I wanted to see what they were doing and also try to encourage them. I've talked to them on the phone and sent videos back and forth, and just seeing what they're trying to do. They're coming into a group of people who have been involved, you know, working there, and they're sort of the newbies there, even though they've been there for 2 summers. Stacy is the person who what's her title? Hospitality. And I'll tell you what, I don't think anybody else who is there has a more demanding job because she has to be there before breakfast starts, and she's getting things set up, and she is the last person to leave at night, probably about 8 o'clock every night. And this is an everyday thing, and she's called upon for so many different things. She's such a hard worker as well. And you see Dennis, and he's involved in so many things. His hands are involved in keeping so many plates spinning. But his role is more of human resources and keeping the staff together so that they will work together, so that, you know, help with communication, to keep conflict away, and to build the camaraderie and all that, as well as just anything that comes up. He's involved in all that. And then in the meantime, he's just helping out with whatever projects happen to be going on that need help. So they're all very much involved in just about everything. And watching and seeing what they're doing. I know that when we came up, they were just really encouraged, wouldn't you guys say? And then when we were leaving, I saw Stacy, and she just had tears, and I'm like, what's, are you okay? And she's like, well, we're just sad that you're leaving because you're our family. And you coming up here means the world to us because we're kind of alone. And it's not that they're alone. I mean, they're with other believers, and the Lord is there, and they've got some good friends. But you just imagine this. You're working in a place where every week a new team comes. You get to know them, and then they leave. And then a new team comes the next week, and you get to know them, and then they leave. And you do this every summer for year after year after year. And so when your home church comes up to say that we love you and we're going to support you, that just means everything for you. So they really felt that, and just being able to do stuff with them. This is the pictures of the glacier. They said, let's go on a glacier. They hadn't done this before. They said, let's just do this together as something that we would do. And they took us out to ice cream a couple times. They took us to this diner after we went to the glacier where pizza was like $35 for like...
Yikes.
Gas station pizza. The food up there is incredibly expensive, right? Yeah, it's just crazy. So, but Dennis and Stacy are doing well. They're in a great place, and so I'm glad that we are supporting them with what they're doing, because they are encouraging other people and pouring themselves into the lives of the pilots' wives, their families, the kids, as well as the staffs that are on that is on Kingdom Air Corps. Anything I missed, Greg, Bonnie? Yeah. They had a Christmas in August celebration. They try to do a celebration of something every month just to kind of keep your spirits up. So they said, it's Christmas, and it was August 9th, I guess. So we did that, and she made a big batch of eggnog. I mean, 10 dozen eggs in the eggnog. That's a big batch of eggnog. Yeah. We had all sorts of weird foods from all over the place. You know, some had like slices or little fish on them. I didn't eat any of those. Did you guys eat the little fish? Yeah, I didn't.
Really?
I didn't eat. I went back and they were gone. So
oh,
I didn't
sure,
care.
Sure they were. Sure they were.
I'll tell you what. It was the Russian. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what. You go up there and there's plenty of food for us to eat. That's for sure. We were like, you know.
Cool.
So that was really good. We were not malnourished in any way. So
good.
I don't know.
We've got maybe a few more minutes left. And I think the last question I'd like to ask anybody, maybe, you know, Cameron, you haven't said anything yet. Maybe you might, or Matt or Jared, you know, somebody who hasn't said anything yet. Any key takeaways from the trip? You know, like Madeline, that was a life-changing experience. Greg, Bonnie, Virginia, you guys kind of shared a little bit already. You know, this is a life-changing experience. Everybody should go. Do you guys have anything you'd like to share? It could be, you know, from a devotional time while you were up there, or just from your experience as a whole. Oh, great. Thanks, Jared.
So I don't know about extreme life-changing, but the devotional times were exceptional. We had some fantastic testimonials, I would say, from the people that either were in Russia or the kids that went to the Bible camps and came back. So we had church at Glacier View, which was what, like 35 minutes away from the compound, and just extraordinary testimonies of things that they had to fight through and get through, and sickness, and a couple of the, you know, passport issues or stuff like that. And other thing would be these groups that came in kind of while we were there. I know it's kind of a joke with us with building relationships, but the people that came in with us and spent some time before we left, I would say were pretty awesome people that we get to meet and really build some strong relationships, I would say.
Isn't that right to Matt right there? He's got something he wants to say. No?
I mean, Jared kind of nailed it all on the head, but it truly is unbelievable to see how everybody up there can work together. I mean, our group came in, and they instantly had us working on projects that they had started before, but yet we picked up from where they left off. Of course, some of it we left worse. Just kidding. But no, I mean, like even to see like Danny and Cameron, who stepped up and did things that they have never done before, but yet they were so willing there to have them help do that and willing to show them how to work it and how to do those things. No, that picture looks good. But it was nice to see all of us as a group to come together and to work with them as a group.
Great.
I agree with everything everybody said, and it's just an amazing experience to be able to go on a trip like this. And I think the one thing that I took away was one of the last days, the speaker shared Psalm 66. And the words, come and see, jumped out to me. It was just like God gave us this wonderful opportunity to come and see what they do at Kingdom Air Corps. And to see the goodness of God and to hear Dwayne's stories again were just amazing. His story about his first trip into Russia, if you've never heard it, you got to hear it, because it's an amazing example of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And just if you haven't ever gone on a mission trip, I can't say enough good stuff about them. It's very, I was stretched. I was out of my comfort zone many times, but God was faithful.
That's great.
Just to reiterate, y'all need to go on a mission trip. Every last one of you, y'all need to find one and go.
Not everybody at the same time, though. I mean, we do have a limited budget at 20%.
Something that we all learn new things and stuff. I was glad I got to work with Danny and with Cameron, because part of it is teaching maybe the next generation how to do things and just talking about life and talking about the future. And so just opening up and talking about, you know, what does God have for us in life, and bouncing those types of things off of one another. You know, teaching Cameron a little bit about sheetrocking, right? You learned a little bit about that, and, you know, things like that. I will say, you know, Jared mentioned something. We went to Glacier View Church, which is where Dwayne King, that's his church, and it was like kind of a Kingdom Air Corps day. And one of the missionary pilots in training who was there, his name is Andrew, and he told his story about how a while ago they were looking to get over to America. They're trying to get their visas. He is married to a Russian woman. They have a child. And the window opened and they're ready to go, and so they said, let's go. And then they flew over to Poland, and as soon as they got to Poland, Russia invaded the Ukraine. All that Andrew had on him was Russian rubles. And so when he went to exchange his money, every exchange for Russian currency was zero. You would get nothing for it because of that. So they're stranded in the airport for a while. They're looking for help somewhere. Their child got sick. They tried to go to the hospital, but nobody would accept anything from them because they didn't have any money. They didn't have any insurance. And then I think it was in the airport. I don't remember where she started to get sick. His wife started to get sick, and so she's Russian. And now, if you're just imagine if you're Russian and what people are going to think about who you are, right? And he wants to get help for her, and she's not doing well, and it ends up that she fainted in the airport, and they're trying to get help for her. She ended up having a miscarriage, all sorts of these things. And he tells this story about his life, and he shared with us in Lamentations about how the Lord's mercies are new every morning. So here's a guy who has gone through this, and he's here in Kingdom Air Corps. He's sharing his testimony. And his brother calls him up, and his brother lets him know that his brother's wife, she has now stage 4 cancer again. And all of these things are crashing down upon him as he's trying to just get to Kingdom Air Corps so he could be a missionary pilot to go to other people to take the gospel. And he's like, God, where are you? Where are you in all of this? And he is reminded of Lamentations, and then his brother tells him, he says, but before we get off the phone, we need to sing a song together. And he's like, what? You want to sing a song together with me? And his brother says, yes, let's sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And so they're singing Great is Thy Faithfulness to one another on the phone, encouraging one another, reminding each other that the Lord is faithful even though the times are hard. And so he was, you know, many months later, he was here. He was telling us all about this, how God has his hand involved in everything. And that while it looks bleak, he really is in charge, and his mercies are great. And I think all of us were impacted by that testimony. And this is just one missionary pilot on his way to serve the Lord for wherever it might be. And I thought I'd share that with you.
Thanks, Kyle. I'm sure we could go on and on asking you guys questions and hearing stories, but we're going to leave that till after the service. If you'd like to come and talk to anybody that was on this trip, feel free to do so. Thank them for going. I want to say thanks to Greg and Rick Jenks and Tim and the people who put together this team and got this trip organized so that these guys could go up there and have that experience and also encourage Dennis and Stacy. and just bring us back like an in-person report of what's going on up there. So we're thankful for that and thankful for you guys for going and sharing with us today. Let me pray real quick and then we'll dismiss you all and you can come and hear some more stories from them if you'd like. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together and worship this morning. Yeah, it was a different morning. We started off with a youth band, and then we heard missionary reports. Didn't necessarily hear a sermon, but I think many of us heard things that are encouraging to us and can change our lives. So we thank you for these testimonies and these stories. We thank you for the work you're doing in Katarina's life, for the work you've done and are doing, you know, in Madeline's life, and thank you for the things you've done in this Alaska team's lives as well. We just, I think of Dennis and Stacy and their family as they are getting ready to kind of wind up their time there for this season and come back and continue to raise support. We just pray that they'd be encouraged and excited about the opportunities they have there and the just the work that they're doing for you with those missionary pilots who are in training. We love you, God. We thank you for Jesus, for his work on the cross, and for the relationships, for the brotherhood, and the family that we have because of that. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you all are dismissed. Thank you for coming. We hope to see you next week.